circumstance to cause. As an amateur behavior artist, Rocco claims that if humans wear clothes, then it's not part of an advanced civilization to let trees and rocks go bare. Under no circumstances, he would say, should a civilian allow that to happen. It's just not civil. And goes on to cite a clause from some ancient Greek law stating that if one lays claim to a piece of land, then one has to take care of things on this land. Rocco also puts clothes on trees and rocks in his own garden. If circumstances permit, he'll buy new clothes for himself and his pet trees and pet rocks. There's no way to classify Rocco as a classical artist or put his works under a classification. Rocco clarifies that it's a new expression of art, simply not classic. Few people clap at Rocco's art, and most think it clashes with classic art. Rocco laughs at this sort of claim and says that under the circumstances, they might as well turn a blind eye to his works, as he doesn't mind the lack of clap in the audience. But he maintains it won't hurt if people just civilize a bit more so they can appreciate a clash in art.
Claw to column. My client Jason is a baseball coach who has a pet pig called Smelly. Pigs are not as clumsy as people think. In fact, Smelly is very clever because she comes from a special collective of pigs. Jason coaches her to learn new tricks whenever he's got a chance. One day, I went to visit Jason, and while we were talking about the climate, I heard two clicks on the door. That's Smelly. She wants a walk, Jason told me. As she can't talk, I taught her to code her needs by clicking so we can talk in codes. Jason opened the door and said to Smelly, "No, not now. I've got a visitor. Come and say hello." Smelly wiped the clay off her trotters on the mat and came over. She stood on her hind legs and kissed me with her coarse snout. I noticed that one of her trotters was coiled by a band with her name on it. I read in the column that pigs are smarter than dogs. Is that true? I asked. Oh, yes. Their trotters are more clever than claws, Jason said. There is a story about how a pig saved his master's life with a coil of rope in some British colony. It was a car collision, and this man's car fell off the cliff when the earth collapsed. Without his pig, the man would have died in the collapse. I've got a big collection of stories like that, because Smelly likes stories. You don't know how much my colleagues love Smelly. I'll give you a clue. They claim Smelly to be their collective pet.
Combat to compel. The local community decided to combat noise through a combination of methods. First, they set up a commission with the support of the city government, and all the important people were invited to comment. Then they commissioned the ex-mayor as the commander of the combat. His main job was to assign a committee to communicate with everybody and to make sure their comments were recorded and a comparison made. So the ex-mayor traveled across town to all four points of the compass in search of people who had a good command of the problems of noise. However, in comparison with his effective work as the ex-mayor, he was hopeless with this new job because he could only find people from the commercial areas who had no commitment to attending quiet meetings. They preferred to have their communication at public meetings where they would have comparative freedom to make a noise and even use comedy to present their views. The ex-mayor, by comparison, didn't think there was anything funny about noise. However, he and members of the retirees combined managed to compel the people in the field of commerce to commit their time to public meetings. He commanded people to combine their efforts and be serious when attending public meetings because he did not want these meetings to be comparable to the noisy government meetings, which had damaged his hearing when he was the mayor.
Compete to compromise. Although she was not a competent writer, Dorothy still wanted to compose a short story to enter in a competition. However, she was not a very competitive person. And as her story became complicated and lost comprehension, she decided to compromise her ambition and write to her mother. Her mother had a bad back, a complaint she had suffered since falling off a horse. Dorothy knew that to complain to her mother about her compromise and inability to compete would only compound her mother's unhappiness. She also couldn't work out how to compress her many thoughts into one letter, so Dorothy thought she would visit her mother and tell her about every component of the letter she hadn't written. Just then, her mother rang, so Dorothy gave her mother a comprehensive account of what she had planned to do. It was so complex that her mother had to leave the compound she lived in, travel with her hurting back, and rush over to Dorothy to comfort her. In the meantime, Dorothy had developed a complex about her inability to speak clearly, let alone write clearly. By the time her mother arrived, Dorothy could not use compound nouns and was taking a special compound for her nerves. Her mother also noticed that Dorothy's sentences mainly comprised parts of verbs and lacked most component parts of polite speech. But what worried her most was that Dorothy had started to bark.
Conceal to confidence. This was the first concert Frank was going to conduct. He was a young and confident conductor, but when he saw the audience sitting in the hall, his confidence shook, although he used to think it was as solid as concrete. Actually, he was so nervous that he felt it difficult to concentrate. To conceal his nervousness, Frank asked for a big glass of water with some condensed juice in it. As far as his skills were concerned, Frank was a very good musician. His teacher's conclusion was that he had an excellent understanding of both abstract and concrete concepts, and could make a top musician. The only concern was that Frank got nervous easily, and this affected his concentration. Frank didn't concede and refused to admit it himself. Luckily, the minute Frank stepped on stage, he forgot everything concerning himself and was completely absorbed in the music. However, half an hour after the concert had started, Frank suddenly stopped. He took the chief violinist aside and whispered to him in confidence, and then left the stage. Everyone was surprised by his strange conduct, and some noise arose in the audience. But as the violinist took Frank's position, the audience concluded that the concert would go on even without Frank, and quickly calmed down. Frank returned after intermission, and the concert continued smoothly. After the concert, the violinist asked Frank why he had left, but Frank refused to tell him. The violinist then said that he'd condemn this behavior at the conference unless Frank gave him a reason, but it still didn't concern Frank. At last, the violinist said, "I always take you into my confidence. Why can't you tell me?" Frank finally made concessions and confessed that because he had drunk too much water juice concentrate, he had to go to the toilet.
Confined to conservative. The government spokesman confirmed that Bill was going to run for president. So we all went to his office to congratulate him, and we called him Mr. Would-Be President. Bill was busy preparing a speech on the conservation of wildlife that he was to make at the Congress, and was a little confused by our congratulations. His face turned red with confusion and shyness. Bill was the brightest and most hard-working young man we'd ever known. Although he was confined to a wheelchair as a consequence of his disease, he was able to confront any difficulties. Even when he was a little boy, Bill was conscious that he had to make more effort to succeed. He conquered the problem and always encouraged others with his own conquest of what seemed impossible. He also followed his conscience and behaved only in good conscience. During his service in the government, Bill had never consented to do anything that would be on his conscience. Consequently, he often conflicted with the conservatives, but he never conceded to conservative ideas. He once refused to use his connections to help his own brother, whose business was in connection with the government. In consequence of this, the two brothers had a conflict. While at work, Bill was a very nice man who always worked in close conjunction with other people. Such conjunction is a feature of Bill's appeal to voters.
Considerable to context. Marianne was a constant and consistent consumer. She bought a lot of chocolate and would only have the best ones. Consequently, she grew to a considerable size because of her chocolate consumption. But being a contemporary woman, she really preferred to be thin. So she went to consult a consultant for overeaters. In consideration of her feelings, he decided not to tell Marianne that she was the largest container of consumed chocolate he had ever seen. She thought he was very considerate, because he didn't seem to mind that he had to construct a special seat for her to fit into. But his consideration changed to annoyance when Marianne kept eating chocolates. He told Marianne that she should not contact him again until she could sit in front of him without eating chocolates. He said he could take into consideration giving her some quality chocolates if she could do that. But Marianne contested this and said that it was against the Constitution to stop her from eating the food that her contemporaries all liked, and so eating chocolate remained a constant in her diet. Under such a context, they lost contact. Marianne then won a chocolate-eating contest, was constituted the chocolate ambassador of the country, and was awarded a construct made of chocolate to live in.
Continual to convey. There is not much difference in how young people date nowadays in contrast with the past. Boy meets girl, they see each other, and go out in a continual way. However, when it's time to pay the bill, some contrast will appear. The boy and girl now often share the bill, while the convention was that the boy paid for everything. There are controversies about whether it's acceptable, since it's a contradiction to what some people believe. But it certainly conveys the message that modern women have broken away from conventional ideas. The differences between men and women are contracting, and women don't depend on men anymore. On the contrary, women are taking the lead role in many respects. Also, society has provided women with more conveniences, which enable them to make more contribution to the society in return. Marriage becomes a contract of equals. It's no longer controversial for women to serve in the army or things like that. And conversely, they are regarded as capable as men, if not more. Although there are continuous arguments that women should return to their families, the contrary is true. Perhaps men need to convert their attitudes so they can accept what might be contrary to traditional beliefs. Luckily, I can contrast the above with the behavior and attitudes of my husband, who, by contrast, is almost perfect. He does the housework, is a good cook, and insists on contributing to the family in every way I could want. You might think I live a charmed life, but it would be perfect. If only he wouldn't act to the contrary whenever I want to buy more clothes.
Convict to counsel. Jeremy is one of the best cops in Chicago, with a core of honesty and capable of coping with tough cases. Recently, coordinated by the FBI, Jeremy helped to convict a member of the Mafia. The convict was actually the chief of the Mafia Council, who owned quite a few big corporations and was dangerous to the core. He hired the best counsel to defend himself, but Jeremy cooperated with the accuser and convinced the jury, which led to the conviction of the accused. The Mafia was very angry about this and claimed that Jeremy would have to pay a costly price for what he had done. The next day, Jeremy received an envelope with a bullet hanging on a cord. Many people counseled Jeremy about giving up the job and going abroad, but Jeremy said he could not concede because it didn't correspond with his character. He wrote in his correspondence to a friend that he believed people should be coordinate in their approach to the law, and everyone, rich or poor, should be punished if they broke the law. One day, when Jeremy was standing in the corridor, a killer shot him with a gun. Although the killer's gun had coordinate sights, the bullet hit the copper button on Jeremy's uniform. When a correspondent asked him whether he would think about changing his job, Jeremy gave an answer corresponding with what he had said before. But he said he planned to write a book about his experiences, but asked the reporter to keep her own counsel about it, to which she readily agreed, but insisted that Jeremy sell the copyright to her newspaper.
Counter to crucial. Critics said that Aaron's work could create a special effect on the audience, and the criticism concluded that it had something to do with Aaron's life. When he was young, Aaron never dreamed that he would learn the craft of pottery. He became a crane driver when he left high school. Aaron lived in a poor area of the county, where the number of criminal offenses led to a high crime rate. One day, something crucial happened in his life. His car crashed into a wall and he lost both his legs in the crash. Aaron cracked up. He refused to eat or talk. When he finally recovered, he creeped to the window and craned his neck to look at the court all day. His crew came to visit him and brought him some flowers in a vase that was cracked. Aaron wanted to fix the crack, so he crawled outside to get some clay. He then made his first pottery. He no longer regarded himself as a useless creature and felt so creative. He built a counter on the other side of his bed and worked there day and night. "That was a crisis in my life," Aaron later said, "and it was critical because it made me want to be strong again. So I was able to counter my bad luck and not to give up even though people criticized my work at first." Not long ago, Aaron was even asked to design a crown for the queen. A smile appeared on his face, crawled with wrinkles, when he thought about telling the queen that any crackdown on criminals in prison should not run counter to his plans to teach them the benefits of making pottery.
Crude to cycle. Ramon returned home and looked very tired. He took a cup out of the cupboard and made coffee to have with some crust. Then he collapsed into a chair in front of the TV and cursed the bad weather. His wife was in the bathroom, curling her hair using an electric current, because she thought she looked better with a curl. At the sound of the curse, she came out and curled up her lips and said, "Don't be so crude. You really need to cultivate an interest in culture. You watch too much football. There, you've crushed my cushion." Ramon's wife didn't work, but was working through the curriculum of a foreign language, so Ramon had to pay for her studies. What's more, she constantly asked Ramon to buy her all sorts of things. A crystal cube ring, a current water cycle so she could cruise on the lake, and yesterday she brought some chairs with funny curves just out of curiosity. She also complained too much. The currency devalued, or the water didn't look crystal clear. "I hope no one will visit us when I'm like this," she said. And right on cue, the doorbell rang. She cued Ramon to answer the door. It was Mrs. Johnson, their neighbor, who liked to take her cue from Ramon's wife. "I've just come to check whether you feel like cycling, because it's such good weather for a cruise over the lake," she said. And then she saw the chairs. "How nice these curved chairs are! You have to ask Ramon to give my husband some cues, so he will buy me some chairs like that. You look wonderful with your hair, my dear."
Dairy to decrease. Over the past decade, I've noticed a decline in my hearing. I decided this decrease was due to being a dairy farmer, and thought I would decrease the danger of becoming completely deaf. So I planned to dash off from the farm, and take a damn good holiday on the deck of a ship for a decent period of time. My darling wife made a declaration that she would not go with me because she wanted to decorate the barn. She was concerned that the paint on the barn was in such a bad state of decay that the neighbors might damn our farm as an eyesore. I disagreed, of course, saying that it could decay a little longer, and that I was taking a holiday even though I thought I should dam up a hole in the dam before the water rose. Otherwise, the water would replace the daylight in the hole. She seemed to turn a deaf ear to what I said, but dashed to the barn in a damn hurry. So I made a dash to the barn to continue our debate. I didn't want to be in her debt. Since she was going to be looking after the farm while I was away, I knew we were in debt. But my doctor had suggested I take a break from the farm and the noisy cows. He set a deadline of 2 weeks before my hearing might fail. When I caught up with my darling at the barn, she was telling her pet cow that she didn't want to deceive me, and she wanted to go too. But we had too much debt, and the sales of dairy products were declining too, according to recent data. To this, I couldn't debate.
Dear to departure. Once upon a time, the animals wanted to define the necessary skills for a new world. So each family delegated a member to meet together in order to work out the best definition. All the delegates sat down and discussed in a democratic way, as it was the age of democracy. The deer thought jumping was definitely the most important skill, while the duck insisted that being unable to swim was a defect. A delicate rabbit made her deliberate point that the importance of running certainly could not be denied. The beaver demonstrated how to chop down a tree with his teeth and concluded that dental ability was a must. The elephant, who was the chairman, deliberated over all the ideas. He added and deleted skills on the list many times. Finally, he wrote a report and delivered it at the next meeting. His delivery was so slow and unclear that all the animals started to talk among themselves. Elephant was so angry that he departed the meeting and disappeared in the dense forest. The animals complained about his departure and wondered whether he had defected to another country altogether. However, the meeting was then abandoned due to the density of moisture in the air, which they knew would lead to a storm.
Dependent to detective. The deputy director of the English department was murdered in his kitchen after a robber had descended on him. Detective Nicholson tried to talk to the desperate wife, who was in such a depression that she refused to talk to anyone. Nicholson studied every detail in the place and noticed a dessert on the table, which was half finished. The wife descended the stairs and saw Nicholson put the fruitcake in a bag. Nicholson detected a look of despair on her face, despite her efforts to cover it. She told Nicholson that although her husband's death depressed her, she still wanted to help. Nicholson knew this sudden change in her attitude was derived from his detection of her secret and thought it was a desirable change to find out more about the murder. The wife talked in detail about their happy life together and said that since they were dependent upon each other, his death left her life in destruction. "What have I done to deserve such a punishment?" she said. "Do you have any deposit in the bank?" Nicholson asked. She looked surprised, but quickly detailed that she despaired of living alone in this country and had taken the money out so she could go to Europe because she was descended from an Irish family. Nicholson excused himself and went away for a while. When he came back, he said, "You forgot to mention about the baggage you deposited at the airport, and it seems that you're not traveling alone. As to your destination, I suppose your ancestors didn't come from Bermuda, did they?"
Determination to dirt. Marty went directly to the computer and opened his mailbox. He dipped a biscuit in some milk and started to read his 298 new mails. He had to dip into hundreds of messages each day. Marty worked at home with the computer and other devices the digital age could provide. In the very beginning, Marty thought it was a good deal because his boss couldn't dictate to him as she did in the office. But the truth differed in many dimensions to what he had imagined. Other workers thought he had an easier job and devised all sorts of ways to annoy him. They would constantly email him, voicemail him, and dial his number. He had to ask the boss to give his coworkers a dictate headed, "Daily Digest of Messages Only." Marty had to sit all day inside a circle with a diameter of 4 feet around his computer and had to give diplomatic excuses whenever he wanted to go out. Also, he had such easy access to all the delicious diet at home that it became impossible for him to be on a diet. So the doctor said if he didn't diet, he'd have trouble digesting his food. His eyesight dimmed, too, and he couldn't see in dim places. Marty cursed the devil of this modern technology in a dialect that only Netters could understand while staring at a diagram on the screen. The internet was so slow that Marty decided to give up. He took a look at the dial of his clock and saw it was still early. It was such a nice day that he could still take a dip in the lake. Why not leave the computer to its own devices, he thought. With determination, Marty rose and went to the door and found the handle was covered with dirt.
Disappear to dispose. From the moment Albert went to work at the store, it was a disaster. It was as if he'd been discharged from a production line that made troublemakers. He was placed in the disc department and asked to develop a display of popular music to advertise a discount of 20%. Albert decided to display his skills by building the CDs into two towers on the floor in the shape of 20. By lunchtime, the floor was in complete disorder, and when the manager appeared in the disguise of a customer wanting CDs for her teenage daughter, Albert told her to disappear because he was too busy. In disgust, the manager decided to discard her casual appearance and discipline Albert rather than dismiss him. She sent him to the disposal department, where he would be at the husband's disposal. Her husband worked there because he had such a bad temper and disliked people without discipline. The husband didn't disguise his dislike of this young man and gave Albert his discharge within 5 minutes, sending him back to the manager, saying that she should immediately dispose Albert to the street where he could disgust someone else's customers. Albert was totally discouraged by this stage, but was afraid the manager would discount his ability completely. So he told her instead that it was too much for him to work under a woman and resign from the job. Consequently, he is always in disguise when he visits the store now.
Dispute to dominate. Jenny loved buying things, and it would distress her if she didn't go shopping every day. She bought everything, clothes, dolls, domestic goods, and had a diverse collection of them. Her husband was disturbed about this, but always lost in their disputes because Jenny held the dominant role in the family, and therefore dominated him. After disputing with Jenny many times, he worked out a way to help his distress. One day, when they were walking in the street, he said to Jenny, "I'm tired of living in dispute and division, but I don't want us to dissolve or to divorce. No matter what you buy, I won't dispute it." Jenny was very pleased. She gave him a kiss and dived into a shop. The next morning, before Jenny got out of bed, her husband disguised himself as a woman, took what Jenny had bought the day before, and went to the shop. His disguise was clever, and people couldn't distinguish his sex. He returned the goods and got the money back. Another day, Jenny went to the store because it was going to distribute gifts to the first 10 customers, and she didn't want to miss the distribution. While she was there, Jenny noticed a woman with the distinction of being taller and bigger than most women, and her clothes were distinct because they were tight. Jenny went over to have a closer look and found she was her husband. She took her husband outside and made a dive for a ditch, took off his clothes, and threw them in it. A week later, he received a document from Jenny's lawyer stating she wanted a divorce.
Donation to Dynamic. The Drama Society of the college was going to put on a new play, and they needed an animal to play the role of a dragon in the dramatics. But their budget was draining, and they didn't want to change their draft about this character, which added a dramatic effect to the whole play. So they drafted a notice calling for donations of a suitable animal. However, when a donkey turned up at the students' dormitory, they looked at it with doubtful eyes and looked on it as a drag. They were even more disappointed when they found that it was dumb and couldn't make a noise, as this was the only possibility they had. They dragged it outside the dorm and decided to dye it. They dumped green dye onto its body and dotted it with red paint. Then they led it downward to the hall and onto the stage. When dusk came and the drums started, the animal was so frightened that it made a downward jump off the stage. Fearing the show might drag on, one student took a bottle of alcohol out of his drawer and gave the animal a large dose. The poor thing, with paint still dripping, looked as if it had spent the whole day in a dump and was very drunk. It drummed its feet on the floor as if it was drumming up support, producing a dynamic effect, till the drain of its energy caused it to stop. This became the unexpected dynamic that led to success. The audience kept laughing for the duration of the show. The director of the play was interviewed, but he was so excited that his talk drifted to the drift in the play. So the reporter suggested taking a photo of the director and the hero of the night. The director thought he heard a drip, looked down, and found that his durable shoes were all wet. "Oh no," he thought, it must think this is a toilet.